Joining us now, Congressman Mo Brooks is an Alabama congressman, an old friend of the show. He's challenging Senator Luther Strange in this Alabama Senate special election, Jeff Sessions' seat. And Strange is more of an establishment guy. He's a favorite of Mitch McConnell. Mo Brooks is strong on immigration, trade, all the issues that we really care about. He's a populist conservative, and he has a lot of Tea Party support in the state as well. He joins us now. Congressman Brooks, how are you doing? How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to hear you on the show, and it's wonderful to hear your lead in on the climate change deal, the Paris Accord. Donald Trump is spot on that one. We should not, once again, hurt ourselves in order to give the image of being nice to all the other countries around the planet. They're either political rivals of ours or economic rivals of ours, and we should not be putting ourselves at yet another economic disadvantage.
Tell us about the mood right now in the House of Representatives, because you guys barely pushed through this Obamacare repeal, which, you know, I'm not wild about, but it's something. And it's on its way over to Senate. Senate basically said it's dead on arrival. We're not doing this. They're going to do our own thing. But I can't tell you, Congressman, how much my listeners are steaming in frustration at the lack of action from Capitol Hill on the president's agenda. They're extremely frustrated. They're extremely angry. And I think there's going to be hell to pay if you all don't get tax reform done, Senate doesn't push through this, you know, this deal on the Obamacare and make it meaningful. But it seems to me everyone's always running scared. No one wants to run to lead. They're all running scared.
Well, our frustration point is the United States Senate. Over the last session of Congress, the House worked hard. We passed over 500 bills that went to the Senate that never even received a floor vote. That's obstructionism to the max. Now you've got the Senate slow walking the confirmation process for the president's cabinets and sub-cabinet positions that have very much hamstrung the White House. They're understaffed and overworked. And then you have the health care bill that barely eked out of the House, and I'm somewhat like you. I would prefer a clean repeal of Obamacare. I introduced a nice two-page bill where the substantive part was about two sentences long saying Obamacare is dead, and we didn't have the votes in the House to pass.
No, you don't have the power. I mean, all due respect to the Freedom Caucus, but you guys don't have the votes. You don't have the votes, so you guys have to make a decision. You want to do any compromising or just kill the president's agenda? That is what we have to deal with. I mean, until you guys have all these great, you know, Tea Party conservative types in there, populist conservative, you're not gonna be able to do much except stop the president's agenda. And I guess you could do that, but I think that, well, you know, I have a bit of a problem with some of the Freedom Caucus intransigence on things like tax reform. Like, well, how are you gonna pay for it? And you know what I say to that? How are we gonna pay for what we have right now? If we don't get this economy really moving, this GDP roaring and wages going up, how are we gonna pay for that? So I'm a little concerned about that, to tell you the truth, about how we're gonna pay for it. I mean, that's all good as a theory, but in practice, you guys got to put some points on the board, or it's all going down the tubes.
Well, let me back up to the health care bill. Yes, the Freedom Caucus played an instrumental role in stopping the first draft, but that's because it was a bad draft, and because of the Freedom Caucus's efforts, we were able to get through the House of Representatives a bill that will actually lower health insurance costs rather than increase them by 15 to 20% over the next 2 or 3 years, which would have been disastrous. On tax reform, we still don't have a tax reform bill, so I think it's premature to say that the Freedom Caucus will either be for or against tax reform. We need to know what's in it. And once we have a bill, then we can actually start having a public policy debate. The White House has been somewhat, again, retarded by the Senate and not having all the personnel they need to draft all the legislation that is a part of the White House agenda. And once we get that legislation, then we can work on it.
Whoa. Isn't Paul Ryan boy wonder on all these issues? I mean, why is the Trump people having to write the legislation? Last time I checked, he's not in Congress. I mean, you can talk about the broad strokes, but isn't it your responsibility to write the bills in Congress? Why does the president's team have to write your bills?
Well, Laura, you mentioned the president's agenda, so I was talking about the president's version of tax reform, which is significantly different from the House Ways and Means, House mm-hmm. of Representatives, a House leadership version of tax reform. So I'm looking forward to get an actual bill from the White House that clearly expresses what the White House position on tax reform is. Then on the House side, we have a lot of trial balloons, much like we have with the White House, but we don't have legislation where you can put all the pieces together and see how they interact with each other and then make an informed decision yep. on how to move forward.
So what's the so right now you're saying the holdup in the legislation is not from the House Ways and Means side, it's from the White House side, so you're blaming the White House for this?
If you're talking about the White House version of tax reform, that is correct. If you're talking about the House version of tax reform, well, we've got a similar problem. The House has yet to put together their version of the tax reform
you
bill.
I mean, Congressman, the people, I'm just channeling the frustration of my listeners. And I know you're just coming on to talk about, you know, a lot of issues, Alabama special election, which we're going to get to. But you guys are in the majority in the House, in the Senate, and you got the presidency. I feel like I could get 10 people off the street with decent college degrees, maybe some without, and we could say, let's bring in a couple of experts that we trust, conservative economists. What are the three things we absolutely have to do in tax reform that will get this economy going? We'll probably agree in a day, maybe, make a few compromises, get that thing written up and get it passed. Like, what is the problem?
I think you know what the problem is. The problem is that we have Republicans, but we don't have conservatives. So conservatives are not in a majority in the House. The conservatives are not in a majority in the Senate. If conservatives were in the majority in the House, we would have already repealed Obamacare. But we're not in the majority in the House. We have a lot of liberal Republicans, the Tuesday group types, that were all for repeal of Obamacare when it came to giving campaign speeches. But now we recognize that what they really meant is they were for repeal of Obamacare with the exception of its most important part.
Yeah, except they want everybody gets covered and the mandate's kind of still there in a way. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a really good point. That's why we need more conservatives elected to the House and to the Senate. One thing to be Republican. It's another thing to be conservative.
Let's talk just for one more moment about the House, then we'll move on to the Senate race. I've heard through my channels, which are pretty good, pretty connected, that there are a number of people, current Republicans, and maybe there's they run with the crowd that you're talking about, you're referencing in the more moderate to liberal wing of the party, who don't really have a big problem with the president of the United States perhaps being impeached down the road. And the reason they don't have a big problem with that is they feel like they can work with Mike Pence much better than they can work with this Donald Trump, who's unpredictable. He's a bit of a wildcat, and that they're much easier to work with Mike Pence. And so a lot of people, and I've literally heard this from, these are pretty senior staffers, say like, well, I don't think he has a real problem. We lose in 2018. These Democrats get in their mind to impeach the president. We'll work with Pence, no problem. Is there any sentiment like that that you've heard in the House, any sentiment?
I don't know of anyone who believes that there is any evidence that suggests that President Trump has committed a high crime or misdemeanor, which is the constitutional standard. Now, you know, Capitol Hill, there are always people chatting this, chatting that, rumor this, rumor that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of substance, I don't know of a single Republican who would vote to impeach the president because, quite frankly, there is zero evidence that President Trump has committed a high crime or misdemeanor, and that's the legal standard.
But don't you think, but the standard can mean whatever you all want it to mean. There's no tablet written anywhere defining what high crime and misdemeanor is. You can just decide he's, decide anything. Decide he's unstable, decide, they can just make it up as they go along. I mean, I would assume they wouldn't, but, you know, there is no legal standard. I mean, you can say it's a legal standard. It's not really a legal standard, but I get your point. Well, let's move on, though, to the special election and, well, let me ask it this way. Let's go back. I'm being Columbo here. Do you think there are people in some of your members who would prefer to work with Mike Pence than to work with Donald Trump?
Well, certainly. There are some who prefer to work with Mike Pence, some who prefer to work with Donald Trump. You always have different kinds of personal preferences as to who you have a better rapport with. I'm comfortable working with each of them. On the health care bill, by way of example, I thought it was pretty cool when the President of the United States and Vice President Mike Pence called me up to thank me for my efforts. I never got a phone call from Biden or Barack Obama out of the blue.
Good.
So I'm happy to work with either one of them. The question is not so much the person. The question is the policy that's being advocated, and is it good for America? That's my standard.
You got it.
Although I love having a White House that is occupied by President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. It's such a
Let's get into this. Let's get into the Senate race. So the primary, the runoff is, what is it, August 15th? Am I getting that? August 15th? Is that right? You and Luther Strange?
That is correct. We're 75 days away.
So it's coming up. And Luther Strange was slotted in when Jeff Sessions lost, because he was Attorney General. That's how it statutorily goes in the state. So he took over that Senate seat. And he's a favorite of people like Mitch McConnell, who has a lot of power. People like Karl Rove said Luther Strange is going to be a mainstream conservative Republican. He works hard. He's smart, really hardworking, and he has a lot of connections from one of the big law firms in Birmingham as well. And you want to upend his, he's now the incumbent, appointed incumbent. You want to upend him. Why?
Well, there are 18 different candidates in this race. On the Republican side, there are 10 of us who have qualified, so I've got lots of company, although I think it's really come down to three, myself, Roy Moore, and Luther Strange. And quite frankly, I think we need a principled conservative in the United States Senate that has the backbone to fight for the very things that you've expressed frustration about earlier on your show. And that's not the way the Senate has been operating, but it's the way the Senate should be operating. Yesterday, by way of example, President Trump said, look, we've got to stop this obstructionism in the United States Senate. We've got to get rid of this filibuster rule that empowers the minority of Democrat senators to thwart the will of the House, the Senate, and the White House, and all the voters that put us there. And I agree with the president in that regard. It's what we did for the Supreme Court appointment. It's also what we should do for a lot of very significant public policy issues if we're going to reverse the damage that the Democrats do when they're in power.
Congressman Mo Brooks, I'm endorsing you in this race because I think it's really important that we have principled conservatives in Congress. Luther Strange is the favorite of all the people who, in my mind, have been a problem for conservatism in the last 20 years. Chamber of Commerce lining up all the big powers, but I stand on my principles. Mo Brooks, endorsed by me, here on The Laura Ingraham Show.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
Imagine if I only gave you part of an important news story. It would be really confusing, probably pretty hard to follow. And that's what it's like when you only rely on monitoring of your credit and bank statements to protect your identity. You only get part of the story. Well, sure, your bank can help detect credit card fraud, but not the many other ways that your identity can be stolen. Like when someone opens a new account or applies for an online loan in your name. If you miss getting a broader look at threats to your identity, you could miss out on a lot. And that's why there's LifeLock. They use technology.